Just to the south of Rwanda, in Zambia, a year ago this month, a shooting occurred at a Chinese coal mine, which grabbed headlines. Chinese managers at the mine had opened fire on workers who'd gathered to demand fair pay. No one was killed, but the incident made the way China operates in Zambia a heated political issue. And just last month, a critic of China became Zambia's new president. The world's Mary Kay Magsad visited the coal mine in southern Zambia to see how things have changed in the past 12 months.
The road to Kolom coal mine is covered in sooty black coal dust. I'm coming here with Huang Lei, a 25-year-old native of Sichuan. He used to work as an interpreter at this mine. As we drive in, Zambians and Chinese alike shout out greetings to him.
As you'll see that most of the people here, they still remember me. So it's more like I come back home. I know this place too well.
Too well, because when he arrived in late 2009, workers had just rioted. The Zambians complained their bosses beat them. They said their pay was pathetically low and safety procedures lax. One of the first things he did when he got here was make sure workers got helmets and boots. He left after a year because he couldn't stomach the way workers were treated. Soon after, hundreds of workers protested again because they hadn't been paid what they were owed. Coal miner Tasca Chinko was in the crowd that gathered outside the gates of the Chinese manager's living quarters. Chinko says instead of trying to talk with the workers, two Chinese managers got pellet guns. He ran. 12 other miners were injured, two critically. Chinko still can't believe what happened.
When you saw the management coming out with guns, we felt so bad because we are not like animals that they would want to use guns to keep us away from our demanding point.
Once the shots were fired, the workers ran amok. They looted one of the Chinese compounds, exactly what the Chinese managers said they'd been trying to prevent. Eventually, things calmed down. The injured were compensated, the Chinese managers were arrested. A few months later, the case was inexplicably dropped, and the managers went back to China. And work at Kolom coal mine carried on. The four brothers who own the mine have made some changes. They've doubled salaries, though they're still below the international poverty line. And they've hired a Zambian human resources officer, Corey Mono. He works out of a mud brick room in the corner of the compound.
So basically, my role is to protect both the interests of the employee and the interests of the worker.
But he says that's not how the company nor the workers see him. He says he's received threats from both.
The workers sometimes, they don't understand what they would say.
The workers, they don't understand. They say, you're siding with the Chinese. And also the Chinese are saying, you're siding with the black guys.
But Mono says a little communication and respect go a long way. He says he has helped to avert three near riots since he came here 9 months ago.
Boys, let's work together.
Boys, let's work together. Our investors are here to make money, and you're also here to work so you can earn a living. I've tried to talk to them like that, and to some extent they understand. They haven't rioted since the last 9 months.
Which doesn't mean they're happy. One of the Chinese staff at the mine tells the interpreter, Huang Lei, that the workers are planning to strike again this week. They're still paid subsistence wages, and they don't get paid at all when the mine doesn't need them. The miner Tasca Chinko says he has other complaints, too. Like, he and the other workers here get no paid days off. He had to buy his own helmet. And he's worried about his lungs.
There's a lot of dust there inside, particularly when they do blasting.
Hundreds of miles north in Zambia's copper belt, Kolom's coal helps fuel Chinese copper smelting. And miners and smelter workers here voice similar gripes to those at Kolom. On payday, after a few swigs of hooch, they voice them loudly.
I'm a boiler maker, artisan. But can you see the money I'm getting?
Very little.
They wave their narrow white pay stubs from the Chinese-owned Chambishi copper smelter. Most of them make less than $200 a month, and they say their rent eats up most of that. Some Chinese companies protest that they're paying at least minimum wage, so they aren't breaking the law. But Goodwell Kaluba, General Secretary of Zambia's National Union of Mine and Allied Workers, says minimum wage is meant for a safe, sedentary job like a sales clerk, not for a mine worker. Kalupa says Zambia's Chinese-run mines are most often in breach of the labor law and have the worst safety records, but he has seen some improvements. One big mine here used to have fatalities almost every month. For the past 6 months, there have been none. Kalupa hopes the trend continues because, in many ways, Chinese investment has helped Zambia.
We have already accepted their investments in the country, and we really appreciate because what they've done is great to this country. Okay, a number of those youths who were unemployed, they are now employed. So that is an area that we also need to appreciate. We cannot always talk about negatives. No, it's not right.
Some Zambian workers are surprised to hear that many Chinese miners aren't treated much better in China. But in China, workers have little recourse. There are no independent trade unions. Many mines are state-owned, and the Chinese press is kept semi-muzzled on the subject of workers' rights. So it's a bit of a shock for some Chinese companies to come to a place like Zambia, where workers can protest and strike and even vote to change the government. But there are some Chinese companies here that already get it.
It's very noisy here.
Wu Zhengrong is a project manager for Shanghai Construction Group, a listed, majority state-owned company that does about $11 billion of business a year around the world.
We are trying to use more local people. We will try to train the local laborers to improve their skills. And a lot of them, when they come, they are general laborers. And after a few months, become the painter, carpenter, and also the bricklayer.
He shows me around the stylish conference center and banquet hall his company has just finished building for the Zambian government. He sweeps a hand to the meticulously painted walls and says the newly trained Zambian workers did them.
And you can see the works. Most of the painter, the base works, is done by them. I'm very proud of them, really. And I want to work together with them for the following jobs.
Wu sees his company's presence in Zambia as a long-term game. So he wants to do high-quality work, treat workers well, and build a good reputation. It's how world-class companies operate. And there is a bit of a class distinction between the huge cosmopolitan Shanghai Construction Group and the scrappy Kalam coal mine run by brothers from one of China's poorest provinces. They cut corners at the expense of their workers to earn more now without thinking of the cost they'll pay and have paid as a result. As we leave Kalam coal mine, Huang Lei says many Chinese companies in Zambia have learned from last year's shooting incident, and some change has started. He hopes new President Michael Sata will speed it up.
So I hope that it will just force all the Chinese companies to follow the labor law. And I think maybe just to send some investors to all the Chinese companies and to check, are they following the labor law?
Because then, he says, Chinese companies, ever pragmatic, will get in line. In this new political climate, the worst of them may start doing the right thing for the wrong reasons, treating workers fairly to avoid fines and prosecution. But at least that would be a start. The workers at Kalam Coal Mine might even consider it a victory. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstead, Kalam Coal Mine, Zambia.